All right, my Miles Project, welcome back to the after show. And just before we get this started, I'm just going to go a little high five. And that is because two things. We've finished 100-day training goal, which is fantastic. We're going to talk about that today. And it's fucking sweaty in our new studio because the entire building has no aircon. But that's all right because we've got a mad little studio. We decided we're going to put this one on Instagram TV. So as part of doing all this new content, this new show, all the stuff we're excited about, this new studio that we're in right now, we're just going to upgrade everything. We're upgrading your learning. We're upgrading the content.
What? Your studio's learning.
Yeah.
So, welcome to class.
Yeah. Welcome. PhD in nonsense. So, a couple of things. They're going to move this desk for us, which is cool because we didn't actually want this desk. So, they're going to drill this one out of the wall. And Raph's going to close the door so we don't disrupt the fellow workers. If you guys don't know, we're in a co-working space. What a co-working space is, basically you can rent a private office, deck it out however you want, but you get to be around like other awesome creators and stuff. Who's our neighbor? It's the guy's, he's like a designer or something?
Yeah.
Audio engineer
now, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, sweet. That's interesting. And then I'm not sure who's in the other side. It's called Hatch, whatever Hatch is. But
you'll see them in the background.
A girl was in there yesterday. Yeah. So we're still configuring the layout a little bit. We've got, I don't know if you can hear it, but there's a bit of reverb. There's too many hard surfaces in here. So we're going to get some soft stuff to make it sound a little bit more studio-like and maybe soundproof it a little bit more. We're going to get a new camera for that corner there. We'll drill our desk. Lots of cool stuff coming. But before we dive into kind of how we're going to do some of the new format today, we've got listener questions. And then we're going to talk about how we went on our training goals, which was a really cool journey. And then of course, Raph is going to tell us about the new exciting giveaway we have to kick off the year. 3, 2, 1, go.
So you can go to themymuscleproject.com, which you have heard before, because it's our website.
We've never really done a giveaway before, hey?
Never.
Never.
We've given away some shit for free, for sure.
But not like a
Mega pack.
Mega pack.
So /giveaway. So go there, and how this works is all our sponsors have very kindly donated to this giveaway. And if you win everything, and there's like runners up and shit.
Yeah.
With smaller prizes as well. Altogether, the prizes total over $1,500. And you can basically have as many entries as you want. So if you like put your email address in, you get a certain amount of entries. If you like put your Facebook in, whatever, you get a certain amount of entries. You're gonna get like as many entries as you want. You go in there and you can add them, and everyone is obviously increases your chance of winning.
So like, give me an example, Raph. So like, I'm John McEnroe, tennis player, loves My Muscle Project, in retirement, needs shoulder rehab work.
Yeah.
Want to win some True Coach, What If I gear. What have I got to do? Like, how can I put the maximum amount of entries
in? Go to the link, and if you like, you can give every single sponsor your email address. You get a point for every single one. If you like share it on Facebook, you get like +3 entries. So you can end up with like 20 entries on this thing.
Yeah.
Or you can just go and put one in and roll the dice. But all our sponsors have donated. So we've got Activated Nutrients, True Coach, True Protein, Peak Chocolate, Waterfy, and ourselves, and Beyond Macros. Actually, everyone has thrown something in. You win everything if you win. And what we'll do is we'll just keep highlighting the different stuff that each one has put in. Everyone totals around like $150 to $200 worth of stuff. But starting with True Protein, all these products we've tried. We've got the True Pancakes, the WPI, which we've had definitely more than our fair share of. Shaker bottle, which we love, and that's like the most expensive shaker bottle, like the silver one.
Yep.
The coffee mug, which we love at Marrickville, and the mug cake, which I do like, but I could never actually make into a beautiful looking cake. It just overflowed.
It was more just like
microwave explosion.
More just like a cake.
So they're the one, and you can always order with the MMP discount code from True Protein. Orders go on, and chuck your email in to the giveaway, and you can go on the chance of winning that. And True Coach has put in $100 a credit as their main prize and $50 a credit for their sub prizes.
Nice.
So you can either pass that on to a coach if you're not a coach, or if you are, that gets you like quite a few months of True Coach for free.
It's fucking awesome. TheMyMuscleProject.com/giveaway. That's it for advertising for this week, guys. Just jump on there. That's all you need to do. This is what we're going to be talking about for the next few months. If you win this, it's like setting your whole year up solid with the best shit in functional fitness. That was super advertising. So, Should we go to listener questions, or should we talk about, you know, let's just have a brief chat. What did you get out of Gabriella Fandera on Monday?
Oh yeah, it was
Renaissance Periodization.
Great podcast.
Surprisingly, yeah. Really good podcast, right? Heaps of cool
information. Well, I just didn't know that much about her. So yeah, so that's why it was surprising.
Blew me away. Expectations.
She did a really, really good job.
Exceeded.
And I've like already recommended her to people as a coach. I just think we haven't heard about like the gut health stuff for a while. But she seemed to, like, sometimes you get a bit of bullshit in that area as well.
Mm.
She seemed to like have a bit of a kind of evidence-based approach to it.
All evidence-based,
so it was like, yeah, it was, I guess it wasn't just like, you know, some people just get so into it. They're like, nah, like it's no proof yet, but like, you know, it's coming for sure.
Mm.
She's like, this is what we know so far. And like, these are the things I've been trying that work really well. So I think if you've ever had any issues like with your gut or just wondered about it, it's a good episode for you.
100%. Yeah. I like the chat about pre and probiotics. Mm. I mean, it's just one of those things that you do so much of, but you don't really know wholeheartedly what you're doing, why you're doing it. I mean, we've had some advice in the past, but if you guys are unsure about the prebiotic, probiotic debate and what it's supposed to do for you and what you're supposed to kind of figure out, I should kind of tie that into a conversation about food sensitivities. That is the show you need to go and check out. This one is really good for that stuff. And she explains it really well. She's really good at explaining herself.
Yep.
So episode 228, I believe it was, last Monday, go check that one out and just go from there. Sweet. Okay, new section of the show. Before we get into our Netflix documentary this week, we are doing listener questions. We actually have a product review for quite a few things. Small update. You guys may have seen the Instagram. We were in Under Armour HQ in Australia, which was super cool. We got invited out there to have a chat with them. And yeah, we're going to see what comes up in the future, but we're very excited to have met them and kind of see what's coming up in the future for the functional fitness space, because when we reviewed that shoe, we didn't realize, but they're only a month and a half into the functional fitness training space, Under Armour. For a $5 billion company, it's early, early days. So we're excited to see what they have in store and what's going to be next. And yeah, we hope we can be a part of it and see what's going on there. So very exciting stuff there to come in the future, but not a whole lot we can say right now. Okay, we'll do some listener questions and then we are going to jump into our training journal goals.
So, Josh White, CrossFit. How did you find switching from CrossFit performance-based goals, training goals, to strength/very accurate aesthetic-based training goals?
It's actually a good question. Just so you guys know, for the first 10 after shows, the following 10 after shows, we are going to be giving away a training journal or a piece of MMP apparel for the best question each week. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, yeah, I do have questions, but I can't really be bothered. Well, it's as easy as just going on the Instagram each week under the post or in the story, dropping us a question. And then every week, we're probably only going to answer 3 or 5 questions.
Yep.
Out of those 3 or 5 questions, you have 1 to 3 or a 1 to 4 or 5 chance to win a training journal. We'll send it straight to you. Good Easy deal. Done. Exactly. Great deal. So, give us a little bit of insight, Raf, into your mind. Because you didn't really... I don't think you trained... I wouldn't say that was your switch, right? Necessarily.
Not necessarily. I mean, we had to do it for the... I basically had to do it for the training goal.
Yeah.
So, for the training goal, I definitely had to like stop doing the CrossFit stuff and start doing strength. Certainly is an adjustment. But it's one of those ones where I think often when you make the adjustment, you feel a bit worse at the start
because
you're like, fuck, it's like so heavy all the time.
Mm.
And your body's just like not used to it. And then you start to go through and like a bit more adaptation. And then by the end, you start to feel way better with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I could see how I could do this long term
because
your body gets so used to doing strength-based training all the time. And the biggest thing I notice is not doing like high intensity training a lot of the time, I did feel quite a lot better a lot of the time as well.
You mean like WODs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's something about it that just really takes you out. Definitely they are fucking awesome. But just pulling back on the frequency on them. I pull back on the frequency a lot, obviously, for the training goal, but you really notice the difference.
Mm.
Like I think that you generally feel better. Like I think I haven't been sick for ages. I think you get sick less. It is like if you've been hitting like hard, high intensity workouts for a long time, I think there's something pretty good on the other side when you pull them back a bit.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I basically stopped all high intensity conditioning. Mm. I think I just did mainly aerobic work for just like recovery or for days that I wasn't feeling that great, and just for general health, you know, like you just need to move and sweat sometimes, like even if it's just like a long walk or something, or just getting on the bike and doing some stretching, it just is kind of like, it's like really restorative, right, to your body. And a lot of, basically anything over that is taking away from your system. I feel like this is putting good nutrients into the joints, into the muscles, into the blood, you know, back into the system. So I was only really doing aerobic conditioning like once or twice a week and zero high intensity training. It was funny because actually how the goal came about for me as I was reflecting on it was I chose the goal because my back was fucked. And so my back was fucked, so I stopped doing heavy legs. And I did heavy legs first day back yesterday and my back's still fucked. So I'm like, maybe I should set it like a strict press goal or some you know. But no, I think it's just a lesson. Like, look, to be fair, if you're going to get back into this sort of stuff, you can't rush back into it because I've been staying off of it for so long. I trained my legs. I still did full body training, but I just didn't do it hard. And I was like, all right, today I'm coming back. And I started doing heavy squats again. And like this morning I've woken up and I'm like, you're an idiot. You got to slow down. You got to pace yourself, or maybe just choose different exercises at the start. So definitely have noticed that. Yeah, you just got to just be smart when getting back into it. But what were you going to say?
I'll tell you the best thing about having a break from the CrossFit performance-based training, I find, is that you tend to just be able to leave out the exercises you always wanted to leave out. So it's like everyone's got some exercises when you have a CrossFit program. You're like, oh, that exercise just like cranks my shoulder or like cranks my back or like it's just not good for my knees. These sort of workouts,
I need to do it.
But you have to do it.
Yeah.
You just have to do it. And it's like that is like, I think for most people, the biggest change they make when you're like not so, you're just in that period of time, not going for the CrossFit performance stuff. You can come back to it. But in that time when you're not doing that, just leaving out those like three or four exercises that just don't suit your body or maybe like your range of motion or whatever.
But are almost completely necessary.
But they're like often the thing you have to do the most of.
Yeah.
So like for me, like I found chest bars just like ruined my shoulders.
Yeah.
But most of the year I'd do them four times a week.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's fucked up.
And I find that just leaving out those exercises and keeping it, like all the other ones are still sweet, like toes to bars, no problem. I can do them all the time. Incredibly beneficial for your body. I still think I could come back to them, but just that is probably the biggest change you make. It's just because you're not having to tick off all your bases, you can leave out the things you know are like not great for you. Just for you personally. So that is something that I think taking a break from it is one of the best things you get out of it.
Some good insight. I think there's always been a yearly rush because of the open, right? That people don't ever give themselves that downtime. And obviously for you and me, like our values and our priorities have shifted over the last years, and training hasn't, training competitively for CrossFit has not been a priority. So when I made the shift to this bench press goal, honestly, it felt like, firstly, nothing felt like it was in a rush. Even though we had 100 days, because it's one exercise and I was taking care of my own program, I felt like I didn't have to rush anything. And it's funny, guys, like, you know, I guess this is probably just a good time to talk about it, right? Like I hit the goal, right? I hit 140 kilo bench press and it was probably up from, so I tested it probably 3 months before the 100 days started. And I think I hit 110 with a pause and it was pretty close to the max. So maybe with a little bit of a chest touch, 115, maybe 117. So it was like, yeah, it was like 20, 22 and a half kilo PB, 20. Well, if you're talking absolute numbers, like 30 kilo PB. But I think what credited it a lot was not rushing and just like taking my time. And because so often I've had a coach, things were written on paper. I'm like, you failed if you haven't hit these percentages today. You failed if you haven't put this weight on the bar, whatever. But I just went in and every day I just hit it by feel. I'm like, I'm going to do sets of five on this exercise and go by feel. I'm going to do sets of three on this exercise and go by feel. And every time I did a heavy press, I supersetted it. No, I didn't superset it. The next exercise, the next component was a vertical press. And then the next component was a horizontal pull. And that combination of those three exercises consistently three times a week, no pec strain, no injury, could focus on technique. My percentages stayed low the whole time. Not once did I fail a rep in the entire, like I did not need a spot the entire training program.
Definitely added a spot on the final day.
Yeah.
I was nearly lying on top of it.
Yeah. You definitely maxed out your rack pull. But yeah, it's funny. Like, you always hear, you know, don't go heavy and just like build it up slowly and that sort of thing. And you almost get to the end of a session and I was getting these recurring feelings of like, man, am I training hard enough? Like, what's going on here? And then when it comes to the day, you just feel so good. You just, even though you're putting on way more weight than you've been doing in training, you just feel so sharp and solid because you haven't really strained yourself too much and it's just been this accumulation of volume and quality over the period of the 100 days. And I think that's what I really gave credit to. Honestly, coming into that last week though, when I did kind of ramp up the percentages just to kind of feel what that heavyweight would be like, that did start to crumble a little bit. I felt a lot better probably a week or so out. I wouldn't say I really had an aesthetics goal, just to the second component of that question. But I think all I would say is that the focus should always be on performance. Yeah, I don't think the focus should ever really be on aesthetics too much just because it's just a bit lame, you know, and it's just a bit like, what is the end goal for aesthetics, really? It's important and it's a part of it. That's why we train, but it shouldn't be the focus. Chasing that 140 kilo bench press was just a good way to obviously like build hypertrophy in the chest and the shoulders and the triceps, right? And I've never done something like that before. And so I think it just packed on a lot of muscle very quickly. Just because I'd never hit it that hard and that at that frequency. And at CrossFit, you don't really do it that much, right? Like, these muscles are fairly enduring. You just really do burpees.
Yeah, bench is one of the most under-trained patterns.
Yeah, so it's almost like it's a beginner muscle group in a way. So, it gets, like, beginner gains. So, it was a really interesting thing. I wonder if anyone's interested in how I kind of went about the program, like the template. I guess you could just send us a message in on the Instagram. And I guess I could share it with you guys about how we went about it. But yeah, so I ended up hitting it. It's a funny story. On the day, I unracked it for the first rep and I was... So, I'll let you guys in on a little secret. I actually, the week before, had hit it because I wasn't sure how it would go. And I felt really good on a day where I was supposed to build to, I think I put 9 RPE. And I went for 140 and I hit it at 9 RPE. And I was like, all right, cool. So, come testing day, I'm going to try for 145. But when I hit, I think I was so arrogant going into it because of the last week. When I hit 140, man, it just, I wasn't, my mind wasn't there. I was just expecting it to be easier than it was. And my right shoulder unlocked from the bench. And this is when you jumped in full panic.
Well, I thought there was like, oh, like this will be easy.
Yeah. So I was, you saw me hit it the week before, right?
I was looking at the camera. I was like, this is
so... Yeah. It was honestly just stupid. At a certain weight, you need to treat it like it's...
Yeah.
I was just being too arrogant. And then that right shoulder unlocked. I thought about pressing through it. And then it kind of twinged a little bit. And I just slowly brought it to my chest. Yeah. And that's when you spotted me. And then I came back and I was like, all right, like fire up. And I was like, what do they call it? White knuckling, where you like squeeze really hard and you get like 3% extra power.
Yeah.
I was white knuckling like a motherfucker. And then, yeah, I just amped up and I really set that right shoulder because I fucking felt like I injured my pec a tiny bit. And then, yeah, it came through, but that was it. That two attempts took everything out of me. 145 went nowhere. I know, but that's enough about me, Raf. Tell us how the day went for you.
I didn't hit my 100-day goal. The actual day went very poorly, unfortunately. And then I spoke to Starry about what he thought about it later, because I think that often the guy like who writes the program has a better idea than you do. And how he felt, which I tend to agree, was... So, I had clean jerked 145, but ages ago. Probably like a year and a half earlier. When I first started the program, I built up that day and I did like 130, and then I couldn't clean 135. That's kind of where I was at when I started. And then we were like, okay, we need to rip into this. And I hadn't, probably, a bit of a mistake, I hadn't really been clean jerking much in the lead up to this. So we just did like build up to a 3, build up to a 2, build up to a 1, take a deload. And we'll do that 3 times. And then we'll have 2 weeks and you'll do it. And that worked really, really well. Like the first time I built up to a 1, I got to 135, then I got to 140, and then I got to 145 on the third cycle. And I was like, this is just perfect. One more and then it's 5 more kilos. But then after my last third cycle of that, every week was getting worse and worse. And like
what was changing? Were you sleeping or were you not?
Nah, like I was And I was training everything else way less. We're like, hey, now we'll focus on it. I like pulled right back to almost no conditioning. I've been doing conditioning most of it. Pulled like any bodybuilding out. I basically pulled everything out of it except the clean and jerk. And it was going like down and down every week. And I was like trying to keep it positive. I was like, I know I can do this. Because like I've kind of like pretty close to it like 6 weeks ago.
Mm.
So I just tried to focus on technique. But then, yeah, it was kind of like false confidence block. I was giving it my best shot.
Mm.
But I did know. I was like, man, it's not going very well in these last few weeks. And yeah, Starry reckons that I just like kind of maxed out the strength in the 9 weeks and got a bit burnt out.
Mm.
And then like you can't just keep doing that forever.
No.
Just keep like building up to heavy three, heavy two, heavy one. And in hindsight, he wished we'd started a little bit less in a rush and done maybe like 4 or 5 weeks of like groundwork, some bodybuilding work, and then built up to these last heavy 8 or 9 weeks. So that was a good lesson learned for sure. And I haven't really ever tried something like this. So I definitely learned a big lesson with that.
Yeah.
That you can't just run a strength heavy strength cycle forever.
Mm.
And in the end, like 13 weeks, which is I think 100 days, was a little bit too long.
Yeah.
I think I had about 8 or 9 weeks in the bank.
Okay.
So that was a shame. At first I was like, oh fuck, I'm just gonna forget about this. But now I'm like, nah, like I've put in the work. I'm just gonna keep training a bit longer and then I will get the 150 clean and jerk. It just is not gonna fall into my 100 days.
Mm. All right. That's it was a fun journey.
Mm.
I was yeah, it was good to do it side by side and keep each other accountable. But yeah, the journal fucking went incredible. It helped so much. Yeah. And for us, it was very nostalgic to kind of like flick through the different guests that we've had on the show and read about them and absorb some of their information. And yeah, the Training Think Tank guys in there, like can't thank them enough for their episodes and their insights in the journal. And it's just so nice to finally have the podcast in writing and just somewhere kind of sacred. So yeah, I really enjoyed that journaling.
And the best thing about that, the training journal, is that what you find is during it, you get distracted by other shit.
Mm.
Like you see some mad exercise on Instagram, you're like, oh, I really need to try like that chest press.
Mm.
And then the journal just brings you back to what your overall goal is at the time. You're like, oh, maybe I should do like a hamstring program.
And it becomes so easy to journal. Like by the time you get in that stride, that you hit that 20-day mark or whatever, it's part of your routine.
Yeah, you feel a bit lost without it.
Yeah, rain, hail, and shine. But yeah, thanks to everyone who joined us on that. If you want to pick up a copy, guys, we still run the discount all year, MMP15, and that gets you 15% off when you go to thetrainingjournalbook.com. Okay, we've got another question. We just spent like 20 minutes answering one question. What other questions?
We can probably come back to another. We had a morning routine question, and we had one about injuries.
Oh, yeah. What was the injury one? Maybe we'll do this one.
I'm going to read this out. Who's it sounds from? Like an American. The Master Brownie. I assume y'all have been injured before. That's what they wrote. What have you done physically, mentally, and diet-wise to adjust? I am just now getting over 2 joint capsule injuries in both wrists. I mentally struggled and unfortunately consumed epic volumes of food. Switched to powerlifting using straps. Gained just over 20 pounds. Since the gain, I started working with Beyond Macros. Good choice. And after hearing it on your podcast and listening to the stories, I am just now feeling good physically and eating much better.
Mm.
Definitely a first mistake was getting fat after getting injured. That's the worst because you already feel down when you get injured and then you get fat and that's when you're just self-confidence.
Yeah. Joint capsule. So, I'm assuming it's probably like a shoulder or a hip thing.
No, 2 joint capsule injuries in both wrists.
Oh, in both wrists. Okay. Yeah, yeah man. Like this, you got to pick a goal for something else. Yeah. That's all it is. you get so attached to what you like, right? But at the end of the day, you got to remember that what's in your head and what you're attached to is just like, you just have like you're just not seeing the bigger picture. You're just down a certain rabbit hole and you feel like this is the only way to train, right? Think about when we were competing in CrossFit, right? We think, of course, it's the only way, fuck bodybuilding. I remember walking in like 10 weeks after I started CrossFit, going straight up to the coach whose gym I joined. I go, you know what, man? I was so stupid. Hypertrophy training is dumb. And it's just, you just get blinded by that thing. And I think that is when you get into the negative mindset, is when you're like, I love this training. I don't want to do anything else, but now I can't do it because I'm injured. And I've already told myself and the people around me and this person, that person, fuck all the other training. That's why we do this podcast, guys, is because it's not just about one style of training. There are multiple styles of training that you can do at any time. And when that shit happens, when your wrists are fucked, you got to find something else. Keep some stuff that you can do. Like, you probably still back squat, right? So, keep your back squats in there. But then, take up a running goal. Do some hill sprints. Try fucking other stuff you haven't tried before. Get really good at like a weird Ito Portal pistol variation. And it's not because you haven't started it. Like, when you haven't started something like that, it seems like you really don't want to do it.
But once you put hours into that, you'll be obsessed with it.
Exactly.
Just like you are with your current goal.
Exactly. You'll go, oh, I get this now. This is hard. Mm. And anytime you do anything, you see a little bit of progress, you're like, that's cool. Whatever it is.
Mm.
And so just find something of moderate interest to you and find that and chase it and just make a little bit of a map and do your fucking rehab as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll add one thing to the wrist. I got quite a bit of wrist pain halfway through the Clean Jerk goal on my left wrist. Mm-hmm. It was like absolutely cranked halfway through it. Like everything was kind of sore, like riding the bike or everything. And I just started doing wrist cars every single day, a few times a day.
Controlled articular rotations. Yeah, so Andrea like Spina.
Really slow wrist circles.
Yep.
It's pretty simple. And I would do some active extension works. So if you imagine like going over in a push-up, shoulders over your fingers.
Yeah.
And then leaning back and lifting up your fingers as soon as you can.
Yeah.
So you're like extensive.
It's like end range strength.
Yeah. Top of your forearms, absolutely burning. And my wrist got better, like unbelievable, like crazy turnaround. Mm. I thought they were like doomed.
Mm.
And my wrist mobility improved as well. So that is like one tip you could try. Yeah. But I thought my wrist was like gone and it made a massive difference. Like way more than like rolling out my forearms or anything I've tried in the past.
Yeah, well, I think if you've listened to enough of these episodes, we all agree that rolling doesn't really do anything. So so Dr. Andrea Spina on Instagram, if you guys are interested in that sort of stuff, we'll get him on soon. So we'll wrap with those two questions. I'm going to go with, you know, that guy got a little bit more vulnerable. What's his name? The Brownie guy?
The Master Brownie.
The Master Brownie. So, the Master Brownie, if you're listening to this now, please drop us a message on Instagram with your address and your full name and your phone number and all that stuff, and we will send you either a training journal or a piece of apparel. Just let us know what you want. We'll send it in. Guys, next week, send in your questions again, but you can only submit them through the Instagram. Even if the post isn't up yet, just send us a DM and be like, hey, this is my after-show question for next week. Quick update, I forgot to mention at the start. We're going to the US. We're excited. We're going back. We're going back in March, so... We are like, man, we're like 5 weeks out from heading back to LA.
Please send us guests. We're looking for guests in LA, anywhere in California.
We got like 50, 60 submissions for different guests, but I want you guys...
I want hundreds.
I want you to think big, right?
Hundreds of thousands.
Well, someone put that was like absolutely ridiculous. They took it way too far.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. Someone's like Anthony Kiedis. Come on, guys.
That's outrageous.
I would love to interview Anthony Kiedis. I just can't see him coming on the podcast. But let's just keep this on the edge of reality, right? just out of reach, not in the stratosphere. Okay, let's wrap this thing up with our Netflix documentary. This week, we actually had a really, really good recommendation. I can't remember who gave it to us, but currently Rogue Fitness is doing a Netflix series called Legends of Strength. Legends of Strength on Netflix. And it's like started with two episodes. There's one on Eugene Sandow, who's the original guy, and then Apollo or something like that. He's like this French guy. Raph watched the first episode. I watched the second episode. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah. So the first one is this history on this guy called Eugene Sandow, which was the 1800s, like around the Civil War in America. And he seems like the founder of like. He's like probably the first guy to ever pose on stage, like looked shredded, but also did like feats of strength, which was like the coolest thing back then. It didn't really have sport back then. So the only way you could really be like awesome physically was like feats of strength, like picking up horses and shit and cars. Sick. Yeah. It's pretty cool documentary. It's like quite interesting. Like I think what people will like about watching it is that it's so similar to today. He like built his personal brand and then he brings out like Sandow's top 5 chest exercises.
Oh yeah.
Like a little program.
Oh really?
And everyone like buys the program.
Fuck.
And it's like the same as like an Instagram post now from like a chick like my top 5 booty exercises.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the same.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, right.
So I thought like those parallels were super interesting and they've put a lot of time and effort into it. So I did really like it. It was probably like a bit... Sometimes it's a bit hard to be super interested in a guy that was so long ago.
Yeah.
Compared to maybe a guy that was like 50 years ago. Yeah. So 100. Because you just like there's no video. There's no drawings.
Yeah, yeah.
Of him picking
artist impression.
Pony,
yeah, yeah.
Whatever. So... it's cool and like interesting, but I hope the documentary goes all the way to the current day.
Yeah.
And we see like the legends of the last 50 to 100 years as well. So right now I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. But I think it's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, guys, really good production. Yeah, they've dropped some money on this. It's actually quite good. So I commend Rogue on stepping out of their equipment making vertical and going into some more content creation because this stuff is really cool. But again, yeah, these early guys, it's there's not a whole lot to talk about because there's not tons of information. What was really cool in my episode, though, is because he's a French guy. In this French museum, they have his barbell. So it's like, they reckon it's like maybe one of the first barbells ever.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they got it in this museum.
I'm guessing it wasn't Rogue.
No, it was. Yeah, it was Rogue. Yeah, it was. French Rogue Company. And that, so that was super cool. And they were like frothing over that, they were frothing over that bar.
The La Rouge barbell.
And yeah, this guy was, he was a strong motherfucker. They had like this, he had this competition, this famous competition where he went around and he like got like 80 kilos or something. And it was just like this iron block and he would like snatch it. So he'd wrap like a cloth around the handle.
Like
just,
straps.
Imagine, yeah, imagine it's just like a brick though.
Yep.
And he would snatch the 80 kilos with one hand by holding onto the cloth as the grip. So think of like a big metal cinder block.
Yeah.
Like a big metal brick that raised 80 kilos. He like welded a handle onto it, looped a piece of cloth through it and just snatched it with one arm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And he had this thing where he basically went on the road and he's like, you know, I'll give you heaps of money if anyone can just do any of the stuff that I do. Yep. And he would have like 40 kilos and he'd just like hold it out straight, like a straight arm raise, like you're holding a dumbbell. Yeah. And he would just hold it there for like minutes, like 40 kilos.
Well, that's exactly how this Eugene Sando guy got famous. Was he was 85 kilos, so just like a normal size guy, but shredded.
Mm.
And he would wear normal clothes and he didn't look big. Mm. And all the strongmen at the time were like big and fat and like 130 kilos. And this guy was performing on stage, just like normal strongman. And he challenged anyone in the audience to come up. Like, no one ever comes up. And Eugene Sando comes up and he, like, rips off his clothes and he's, like, just shredded.
Mm.
And he matched this, like, strong man that looked like he weighed 130 kilos on every single feat of strength.
That's epic.
And he became, like, world famous from that and never lost his fame. They need to bring that back.
Was it, like, a tragic ending to the Sandow thing?
Well, he died, obviously. Yeah.
Shit. Shit.
Crazy
shit.
Surprise. But no one knows exactly how he died. The weird thing in the end, it sounds like he died, like, trying to lift a car.
Oh.
Out of a ditch, like a car ran into the ditch and he tried to lift it out of the ditch. But it's got a very weird ending where his wife and children like hated him and they didn't want to bury him. They gave him like an unmarked grave and refused to be sad about him missing.
That's so funny. That was like the same end that this other guy met as well. Like three people attended his funeral and he was like the greatest strongman the world had like ever seen.
Very strange.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird in that way, but this guy had like a really tragic end to his life where no one cared about him and like he got really poor and people stole from him and he ended up losing all this money and yeah, it was crazy. But anyway, it's worth watching.
Yeah,
it's worth watching. It's a 3.5 out of 5 for me. I quite enjoyed it.
And they're pretty short, like 20 to 40 minutes.
It's 20 minutes. Easy. Go for it. All good.
Good job, bro.
All right, guys, this episode is going to be shown on Instagram TV. So it's our first Instagram TV post. Even if you guys don't watch it, we're just experimenting right now. We're trying to find out some new ways of doing things. So thank you for joining us in the new studio today. And to leave you with it, themymuscleproject.com/giveaway. Win yourself some cool shit.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.